Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're going to Parashat Tetzaveh. After talking about the Mishkan and all the parts and the ark and the table and the altar, now we're going to talk about the clothes of the Kohanim. But in the middle, the Parasha starts, "Ve'ata tetzaveh bnei Yisrael v'ikhu elecha shemen zayit zach katit lama'or la'alot ner tamid." Talking about the oil for the menorah. And this is very strange. You know, if we want to talk like about the Mishkan, the Mikdash, the Tabernacle, we want to know all the details, because lighting the menorah now is not an issue. Only at the end. So this should be at the end of the whole thing of the Mishkan. In other words, we should first of all hear about the clothes of the Kohanim. And then when you end it, you tell us about the oil for the menorah. But it's not finished yet. So the question is, why now in the middle we are talking about the oil of the menorah? Now there is another important thing. This oil of the menorah, we already talked about it, is only you allowed to take the first drop of the olive. Only the first drop is kosher for the menorah. In other words, imagine to yourself how many olives you need in order to have oil for the menorah. Now, the second one, the third one, there's no problem. You can do all the other stuff in the Mishkan. You do holy things. But for the menorah itself, lighting the light of the menorah, only the first drop. Why? Why is it so important?
But then what about all the others? All the other candles?
No, all the candles of the menorah. The first drop. Only you take the olives.
It's a second drop.
No. You take a lot of olives, and for each one of them, you take the first drop. Okay. In other words, the oil, you have a lot of oil, but the oil is made only of first drops. In other words, every olive I take, I only take the first drop to use for the menorah, for the lighting of the menorah.
You take it straight from the olive.
No. Don't have to take it. Just when you squeeze it, you squeeze the olives, the first drop for the menorah. Then you take it to somewhere else and you squeeze it more and you do whatever you want with it. The oil for the menorah is supposed to be pure.
100%
pure. Nothing in it. And the question is, why is it so important? And why do we put the menorah now, before we talk about the cloth of the Kohanim? And it's a very interesting issue.
Because it takes so long to get one drop at a time, so they have to start early enough to get the cloth.
Could be, but there is something else here. There is something very important about the idea. Why the menorah now? The oil of the menorah. Not even the menorah, the oil of the menorah. The menorah is the symbol of the light of the Torah. It's the education, the light of the education. When you teach somebody and you transfer him the light of the Torah, it only can come from the purest place. We all know what happens when you take it not from such a pure place. When you do rounding corners, a rabbi like this, when he gives his things and thoughts to his congregation, we all know the influence is going to be bad. For example, we all know the Reform movement.
Yeah.
Now, the Reform movement started years ago, started in Germany. In states in New York, there is what we call Temple Emmanuel. This is the most important synagogue of the Reforms, the first one in America, the biggest one and the oldest one. And they, a few years ago, tried to do an anniversary, 100 years anniversary or something. So they were looking for the third generation to come. There was not even one Jew in the third generation of those who started the shul, Temple Emmanuel in New York. Not even one. Showing you that the minute that you start playing around, that's what happens.
That service, I was at that temple once to see. It was impossible.
I have a graph at home which shows you all the various kinds of reform and conservative and everybody. And it shows you in the next generations, how many of them are going to be left?
I would be very interesting to see it.
I'll bring it when I can.
Yeah, Be'ezrat Hashem. Yeah.
The only one that will be in four generations' time is those that keep Shabbat and everything. The rest of not one of them are going to remain Jews. But if they are, they will be intermarried anyway.
And the thing is that it's unbelievable to think about it. So Chafetz Chaim, the thought about the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, once he went to the mikveh, and you know in Europe it's very cold. So they used to warm the mikveh with hot water from a boiler. Mm-hmm. And before he goes into the mikveh, he asks this guy who is in charge, is it warm? He says, I just now put a whole boiler with boiling water in. So the Chafetz Chaim puts his leg in, it's ice cold. So he goes to the boiler to see how warm it is. He says, it's not boiling, it's only warm. And he says, this is a big lesson for us. When you put warm water into cold water,
it gets cold.
It gets cold. Only if you put boiling water, then it gets warm. And only if it's on the boiler, it stays hot. In other words, if you want to pass a message to the next generation, if it's only hot, it's going to be cold. If it's boiling, it's going to be warm. If it's on the fire all the time, then you have a chance to really transfer the message properly. In other words, if you have this enthusiasm, yet you love the Torah and you pass it to your next generation, it's going to pass. But if you're trying to play around and make compromises, so the next generation is going to make more compromises. And that's exactly why we need the teacher, the rabbi, the educator, to come from pure oil. Only the first drop, because otherwise we'll have a problem. If we want to pass the message, if we want Ner Tamid, what is Ner Tamid? Lights forever. The Jewish nation lights forever, not because of people like the Reforms, and not because those who did compromises, but because of those who didn't do compromises. And it's unbelievable to see, because then, and only then, it's written, Ve'ata akrev elecha, now, bring Aaron, and make him the Kohen Gadol, and his sons Kohanim, and he says, Mitoch Bnei Israel, from the people. And this is another issue. First of all, he says, because before you bring those people, you have to understand that the Kohen has to come from pure oil. He has to be pure oil. That's why it's Aaron and his sons. Because they are pure oil. Secondly, you bring them from the people. Why? Because if you bring them from above the people, they are not going to connect. This is also another problem. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, it was so high that at a certain, like in this time, that's what it is. Like he needed to have somebody else that does a part of the job in order to be connected to the people. And who is better than Aaron? Aaron is from the people. In other words, a leader has to come from the people and not above them. And talking about this, this is a midrash that says about two rabbis going on the street, and they tell each other, let's go near a whorehouse, and we're not going to be tempted. we do a test, we go. Then the other says, no, let's go to a better place, let's go to a house of Avodah Zarah, of idol worshippers, and we won't be tempted. So first of all, we see here that at those days, people don't realize today what is idol worshipping. But at that day, it was so hard, so tough, that it was even worse than going near a whorehouse. In other words, the temptation to have sex or things like this was less than the temptation to idol worshippers. Unbelievable. But the thing is, why did they do this? We all know we don't put ourselves in temptation and we don't put ourselves in a spot. It's stupid to do this. The thing is that the real idea was those rabbis are going to talk before Yom Kippur, Drashat Teshuva, before their congregation. And they're going to tell them, you have to behave like this and you have to do this. And what is the congregation going to say? Look at them, those rabbis, they sit up there. They don't see the street. They go from shul home to shul, sit and learn the whole day. They are not involved in the society. So they are big shots. Let's see them, if they're going to come through what we are going. We are working. We are going in the street. We are going near whorehouses, near idol worshippers. We are mingling with the goyim. We are dealing with them. Let's see them, how they're going to be behaving when they in the street. So this is why those rabbis wanted to go through this procedure in order to connect. The idea is that a rabbi that is on top and doesn't understand what we talk about, we cannot relate to him. In other words, today you see that when people do tshuva, who are those great rabbis that help people do tshuva? Those who did tshuva by themselves. Why? Because they know the people, they know how to talk with them. And this is now, the Torah is telling us, now before we start this whole thing, to building the Mishkan, and don't forget for a minute, the Mishkan we're talking about is inside us. We need somebody that can connect to the people and help them. Not somebody who is on top of everything and cannot connect to us. It's no good. You know, it's very interesting. Just now, I came a little late. Why? Because at shul, this time I had all the intention and the, let's say, everything was working for me, and I was supposed to be here 10 minutes ago at least. And this guy comes to me after shul. I talked about certain aloha, about answering a bracha at the same level and not doing it louder than the one who is benching. And he starts asking a very interesting question. He starts asking me, I want to ask you something. And he's talking like about somebody else, but he really means him. He says, this guy is married to a wife, and they were not religious, and he started to be religious, and his wife doesn't want to hear about it, but she's willing, like, she's accepting him doing what he wants, but she goes on with her own way, but she wants him to drive on Shabbos, and she doesn't understand why he's not opening the fridge because of the light on Shabbos. And he's got a whole thing with it. He doesn't know what to do. So he went to a few rabbis to ask what to do. So first of all, his problem is he went to a lot of rabbis and said, you know, after you go to so many rabbis, you really don't know what to do. Anyway, says, part of the rabbi told him, no, you have to keep Shabbos. It doesn't matter what your wife said. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. That's it. Other rabbi says, you know, you have to be very careful. And if that your intentions are good, God knows that what you did is you didn't want to do it. In other, let's say, circumstances, you wouldn't do it. But because of your wife and Shlom Bayit, you're doing it. He said, what is your opinion? What should I do? I don't know. I'm asking all the time. But he says, are you a rabbi? He says, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not saying that. You learned all and all the other world. What can you help? Can you tell me what you think? So I told him, you see, this is a very difficult issue. Really. You know, a couple get married, they're not religious, and suddenly one becomes religious. Of course, there is a conflict, there is a problem. He says, you have to understand one thing. Yes, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows exactly what you're going through, and he will reward you according to your fight. But you have to understand, let's say and imagine to yourself that Chas v'Sholom you're married to a shiktze. You love her, there is no Shlom Bayit here. You have to divorce her. That's it. That's being Jewish. And the same way is here. You know, if you have to keep Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos. It's not, you cannot just drive on Shabbos and tell yourself, I am religious. You're not religious. You cannot drive on Shabbos. That's it. But my wife says, you have to find a way, an intelligent way, to explain to your wife, if you love each other. He says, he's telling me, he's Ashkenazi, my wife is Moroccan, and she's very tough, and she gets very aggravated and loud. And he says, if you love each other, you have to sit together, and you have to explain to her, you know, this is my way, I accept your way, I don't ask you to change and become religious, but you have to accept my way, because I want to be religious, I have to keep the Torah. So he said, yeah, but she doesn't understand what is this idea about not opening the fridge and driving. She doesn't accept it. It's not written in the Torah. So I told him, okay, so it's not written in the Torah. Yes, written in the Torah. She's right from her point of view. The point is, you don't argue with somebody about things he doesn't understand. You say, first of all, you have to understand, does your wife believe in God? She says, yes, she believes in God. Okay, so we have a good start. Now you have to get to a level that you explain to her that we have to listen to our sages, to to our rabbis. Why? Because our rabbis know more than us. He says, we don't know everything. That's why we have rabbis. He says, but when you choose a rabbi, you have to choose Shem Men Zayit Zach Tahor, only from a pure place. If you choose a rabbi that makes compromises and he tells you what you want to hear, that's not the rabbi you need. It's difficult, it's not easy, but if you really want to do the right things in the eyes of God, you have to find a rabbi that is from pure oil. And this is from a pure place. He will tell you exactly what to do. And maybe you'll find somebody, for example, I told him, you know the Rav Sachs? He was the chief rabbi of England. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Says, this is a guy who knows how to talk with everybody. He's very clever. Mm-hmm. He talks nicely. He writes nicely. Mm-hmm. Maybe a guy like this, if you've been a lecture from him that he's talk about Shabbos, and I'm sure he's got all those lectures about Shabbos, I think. Maybe your wife, when she hears an intelligent guy that talks in her own language and on her own level, maybe then she will understand and realize that keeping Shabbos means this, that, and that. Now, if she wants to keep Shabbos or doesn't want to keep Shabbos, that's a different issue. But now she will understand your position. And if she really loves you, she will find another driver to drive her around on Shabbos. Or, who knows, maybe she will do tshuva also. But that's not the issue. The issue is, if you want to keep your marriage and you want to keep mitzvahs, no, sometimes it doesn't go together. And we all know, some people divorce. Now, if you want to keep it, you both have to make compromises. But you have to know where to make the compromise and where you cannot make the compromise. It's like always this argument about opening on Shabbos or kosher places, not kosher places. But people don't realize it. That a non-religious Jew can eat kosher food. He can eat at the restaurant that is closed on Shabbos. He can eat at your home, no problem. But I cannot eat at the place that's open on Shabbos. I cannot eat in a not kosher place. So if you really want to be with relationship with me, you have to understand that I cannot do what you want me to do, but you can do what I do. So you tell me, in all those who are shouting, Kfiadatit, you tell me who is the one here who wants others to do what he wants. We don't want nobody to do what we want. We want to live our life and we want to keep kosher and we have to, and we can invite people to us to eat, but they have to understand, I cannot eat at your place. Not because I don't honor you, not because I don't love you. You know, I love you a lot, but what you're eating, I'm not allowed to eat. The same way, maybe this way they will understand. When I am diabetic and I cannot eat certain things, you will understand it. Somebody are vegan. I don't see somebody shouting about all those vegan. Hey, how dare they to be vegan? I don't want a vegan restaurant. They've gotten there. This is the intelligent world. Oh, vegan. Oh, this is posh. This is okay. Okay, you cannot eat at me. Well, I'll come and eat with you. Or I'll change my whole house to be vegan so you can eat with me. Why? Vegan. But we're talking about kosher. Chas v'shulem. Kosher is no good. It's not showing you. What is the idea behind, if you want to do what the Torah tells you, or if you want to play around, if you're going from pure oil, you know what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing.
You know, the rabbi we had in Troy, he would not eat in my house because other people are there. But any food I brought to him, he would eat because he didn't want to insult the people who don't keep kosher.
Yeah, you see, you have to find a way. You have to find a way. That's what I told this guy. You see, you have to find a nice way because your wife really doesn't understand what you're doing. You have to look from her point of view. She sees this guy she married, suddenly doesn't turn on the light. Suddenly he doesn't open the fridge. He doesn't want to drive on Shabbos. What do you think she's thinking? This guy is a Michiganer. What happened to him? So you try to explain her, you know, you have a circle and this and that and you're not allowed. She doesn't understand you. So you have to start from scrap. You have to start from the beginning. First of all, does she believe in God? If she doesn't believe in God, it's nothing to do. But if she believes, she believes in God. Okay, so you have a good start. If she believes in God, her problem is, and by the way, it's a lot of people that think like this. They think that the Torah is what's written in the Torah, like, Lo tevaru esh, you shouldn't light fire on Shabbos. That's what it means. like to light electricity or do other things or drive on Shabbos, they've got no problem with it. Why? Because they don't understand it. But if, first of all, they believe, and we believe, then we'll start talking and explain to them the way it works. At a certain level, if they want to know, that's the point. And especially I told this guy, if you love each other, so she will understand you. But you have to explain to her. You know, you cannot just tell her I'm not opening the fridge. Because for her, it's
ridiculous.
But if you will understand and realize from the Torah, Lot asur min adavar sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol. If you sages, if you rabbis at your time are going to tell you, asher yu bayamim ahem, that's written. Those who will be in those days, they're going to tell you what to do. You shouldn't move right or left from what they say. And nevertheless, if they tell you on right, left, or on left, right, what should you do? Listen to them. But this is already a high level of belief. Now, your wife, she believes, but she is not at the level, at the same level as you. So you have to find a way. But yes, it is a problem. It's a big conflict, and it's not simple. But you cannot do the compromises, because that's exactly the problem. When you do compromises, it's the same way as here. If we do a compromise of our leader, of our rabbi, the results are going to come. As we see, as you say in this graph, what you've got, and as we see with this Temple Emmanuel, when you start playing around, this is the one. So we understand that we need pure oil. And only pure oil. That's why the Torah, it's the right order. Because the Torah is talking about building the Mishkan. And as we said, it's the Mishkan, it's our Mishkan. Now the Torah is telling us, before we put human being inside, you have to understand where you come from. You come from pure oil. Only this way you can build a Mishkan. Because otherwise, it's not going to last. Like the Chafetz Chaim says, if you put hot water, the water is going to be cold. Only if you put boiling water, it's going to have an influence on the cold water. Otherwise, it's no problem. So, the leader, as we said, Moshe Rabbeinu, is at a very high level. And at that point in time, the Kodesh Baruch Hu just tell him, you know, we have to find another leader that is going to lead the people in a way they will relate to him more. There is another important thing, and with this we finish our lesson for today. In our parsha, we have to know it. We always talk about it. There is a lot to talk about, of course. In our parsha, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. By the way, today is the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zayin Ba'adar. There is a discussion, was it Aleph, Adar Aleph or Adar Bet? But Zayin Ba'adar is the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and Dafka, that week, the parsha that is talking so much about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ata, 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 who is Ve'ata, and you, who is you? Moshe Rabbeinu. But his name is not mentioned even once. Why? We will see it next week, I think, on Chet HaEgel.
You got the beginning here of next week.
The Chet HaEgel, when we see with Chet HaEgel, what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Kodesh Baruch Hu, after they sinned with the golden calf, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to destroy all of Am Israel and I'm going to build a new nation from you. What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying?
No.
If you mark out Am Israel, mark me out of your book. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, agreed with him and didn't do anything. But our sages say, "Klalat chacham afilu al tnai chayevet litkayem." If a tzaddik says something, even if he did it on, if it's going to happen, if not, not. Even if he did it with a, how do you say, tnai, a condition. If the condition didn't happen, still, it has to happen what he says. So he said, "Mark me out of the book." So the Kodesh Baruch had to mark it out of the book, but not from the whole book, so he marked it out from our parsha. Why our parsha? First of all, because our parsha, it's very clear that we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu and he's not mentioned. And by the way, from the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born till the end of the Bible, of the Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there is not even one parsha without mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu, except this parsha. And why this parsha? Because in this parsha it's very clear that his name is not there. Why? Because it's Ve'ata, Ve'ata, and you, and you, and you, and you, and the name is not mentioned. So he got this punishment of what it said in our parsha. Now, it falls also on the same week that his birthday is, to show the Goyim that they do a whole big thing around who? Around their prophet, the Jesus. All this, everything is around him. In our tradition, in our religion, everything is around Am Yisrael. Nothing around the leader. Even that in on his week, that he was his birthday, he is not even mentioned in the parsha. So some people ask that not always we used to read the whole book. That's all Chamisha Chum Shetua in 1 year, the world time, that we used to read in 3 years. And then it wouldn't happen. So they say, okay, there are a few other reasons for our parsha. And also, you can say whatever you want, but afterwards when they decided to divide the parsha as into 1 year, they put it on the week that he was born. Another interesting thing, if you remember, he had a whole argument with Kodesh Baruch Hu when Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him to Egypt.
Yeah.
Go and save Am Yisrael. Take my people out. So he says, no, I don't want. They had 7 days argument. And one of the points he says, Shlach bi'at tishlach. Send it with who he means with Aaron. So Aaron is more suitable for me. He's there with them, and I am an outsider, and that's not my job. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Your argument is going to cost you. My intention was that you are going to be the king and the Kohen and everything, but now after you arguing with me and you're talking about Aaron, no problem. Aaron is going to be the high priest, and you are going to lose this job. So in our parsha, he's doing it. He's taking Aaron and nominates him to be the Kohen Gadol. And he loses this position. It's a whole interesting idea about, maybe we'll have time next time to talk about it. But because of this, we have also another reason that in our parsha, he was really punished already because of the argument with God. So then he was also punished with not mentioning his name. But it's very interesting that we don't see his name, but he is there. And there are 101 psukim in the book of in Tetzaveh. And if we take the name of Moshe, we have Moshe, we'll talk the Mem Shin Hei. Okay? Now, when we fulfill every letter, it's like Mem is Mem, Mem. Mem is 40. When we take the Shin, Shin is Yud Nun. Shin. When I write Shin full, Shin Yud Nun. Mm-hmm. Yud Nun is 60. Is Nun is 50, and Yud is 10. So together is 60. Then we have Hey, the Hey of Moshe, which is an Aleph. If I fulfill it, it's Aleph. Hey, Hey, Aleph is 1. If I add those things, I have 101, which is the 101 psukim of our parsha. So this is also another interesting with this, we end this. What? Yes, there are a lot of things like this. Now, another thing is, why is the Torah saying Ve'ata tetzaveh, ve'ata ta'aseh, ve'ata? So we said it's mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu, but not mentioning him. But the Torah could say tetzaveh, order him, not you order him. Do it, not you do it. Why is the you? Why is Ve'ata? Why do we? The Torah is not just using phrases if you don't need them. So the Torah could very well not mention the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, and everybody will understand that is not mentioned from a simple fact that is written, order, do, who? Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is the Torah using Ve'ata, and you will do, and you? Because the Torah is really talking to each one of us. It says, you, you, and you. Because sometimes it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, he was there. He has to do this and that and that and that. Because we are talking about building our own Mishkan. So it says, this is written to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, no, it's written to each one of us. That's why Torah is doing ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata. And you, and you, and you, each one of us, has got the obligation and the duty to do whatever we can in order to get to the level of using his full potential. And this is being Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the idea. Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his full potential. He got to the highest level that a human being can get. But each one of us can also do it. Not becoming Moshe Rabbeinu, but becoming the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is fulfilling our own potential. And if we fulfill our own potential, we are at the same level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that is what God expects us to do. So if we use pure oil and do whatever we can also get to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu and be ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata.